Today on Real Life Radio.
The Bible warns us that as Christians, we are tempted to put on a mask. We want you to think different of us. What we don't want you to do is think about who we really are. And that needs to be repented of.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
Well, hey everybody, this very special offer is amazing. Just wait till you see this. Just wait till you get your own copy in the mail. It's written by Dr. Warren Wiersbe. The title of the book is With the Word, and let me tell you, that will not disappoint, because it is a chapter-by-chapter Bible handbook. And you know, it's about 6 inches tall and 3 inches thick. It is an amazing, exhaustive, but yet easy to read book that prepares you for every chapter of the Bible. Every chapter of the Bible has a brief overview of what that chapter contains. You're going to want to get a copy of it and enjoy it for yourself. With the Word with Dr. Warren Wiersbe, the featured offer for this month.
With the Word by Dr. Warren Wiersbe is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter with a message called The Anointing of His Word, Part 1. The Apostle Peter was a disciple of Christ who later became the leader of the first church. And he's writing to Christians who are learning how to live out their faith in a whole new world. You see, the believers there were facing incredible opposition. Sounds a lot like today, doesn't it? The prophets of the Old Testament taught us to live a godly life, while Peter encourages us to love one another, even when we're surrounded by hate. So today, Pastor Jack teaches us that we are at war with an old deception, and that is promoting a different Jesus than that of the Bible. But as long as we keep our minds on the Lord, we will not be deceived. Now with his message called The Anointing of His Word, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
If you're not a Christian today, the spiritual warfare that is being launched against you is to keep you in unbelief or to get you all excited about religion. Anything, everything, to get your eyes off the target that is Jesus, the true Jesus of the Bible. And so the spiritual warfare that you and I are involved in, on the one extreme would say or get you to think or believe that there is no God. And the enemy would go to great lengths to try to keep you in that bondage. God doesn't exist. You don't have any explanation for the woes of the world. You just conveniently say that God does not exist. And mostly it's self-serving. I don't want God to exist because I want to keep living the way that I'm living. I don't want God to exist because if he does exist, then I got to go to work to figure out more stuff about him. And then I got to deal with my life. And I don't want that. It's just not attractive to you to think about God. But one of the crowning efforts of the enemy is to get you, non-believer, to think that there is no spiritual world. And the greatest thing for him to do is to get you to believe that there is no devil. That's his goal. Listen, it's God's goal to get you to believe in his son. It's Satan's goal to get you to not believe in who Satan is. If there's no devil, then you don't need any savior. If there's no hell, you need no heaven. By the way, yesterday was a crazy day. I don't know about your house, your community, but it was cult day in our community yesterday. Did you know that? I live in Chino Hills, and the Jehovah Witnesses and the very sweet, nice Mormon people, they're all out together peddling a totally different Jesus. And it's funny because they, at one point in our neighborhood, they were going one door behind the other, literally. And if I wasn't busy preparing this message, I wanted to run out there, which has been my practice before. And I wait till they go to a door. And then when they leave, I go to that person's door and say, hey, don't listen to a word those people just wound up saying. Because this group mentions a Jesus that is described by this, and he ain't no Jesus of the Bible, I'll tell you that. And another group says, oh, no, no, we want to introduce you to a Jesus. And oh, by the way, you can become a Jesus just like the Jesus I'm telling you about. Listen, with all the Jesuses walking around, they all can't be right. There's only one that's right. And the Bible says in the last days, there'll be those peddling a different Jesus and a different gospel. Why? We're involved in a spiritual battle, church. And it's real. And the Bible makes it clear that God's word comes, think of it, into this world, and there's a declaration of war. And in verse 1, we see that we're at war with an old world. You and I as believers in the truth of God is at war with an old world. And here's the tough part, church. That old world still resides in us. And we don't like to admit that. But it's theologically true. You say, wait, aren't I a new creation in Christ? Of course you are. But did anybody tell you that that new creation in Christ is engaged in a spiritual battle? And it is blood and guts, friend. It is brutal. There's fur flying and fangs being shown. And why? Well, he says right there, therefore. By the way, therefore is, you can just circle that word and say, the therefore here means chapter one. No, I'm dead serious. That's what it means. He's saying, in light of chapter one and all the arguments, I want to say something to you. Lay aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, evil speaking. Why? We're at war. Now, mark this. It may be boring to you, but I hope not. I want you to be taking this data as though you're putting on a helmet and you're getting your gear suited up. Just think about that. David's going to be heading down to Camp Pendleton, and he's going to get suited up. And it's no joke. And at some point in time, they're going to take him out to the California desert, and they're going to have live ammo, live round firing. So what is that? That means they're going to shoot back at you with real bullets. Why? Because in war, there's real bullets. In church, we got to get it going, church. We're living in the 21st century. The church is not nearing its retirement. We're approaching the finish line. It's not time to get ready to give up. It's time to fight harder to the end. And to know that there's a world out there that is against your marriage. So suit up the armor of God. There's a world out there ready to devour your kids. I'm exercising great self-control right now because I've been studying about what's coming against your children. And you will not be able to convince me that it's not spiritually driven. The power players of this world are being, they don't realize it, but they're being manipulated by spiritual powers to control the thinking of your children. I had a meeting with a senator this week who turned, he's been studying Ronald Reagan's history for his life, just about, and he wound up telling me a great quote that I've never heard before by Ronald Reagan. And Ronald Reagan said, regarding communism, he said, it's the most effective lie since the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve were told that they could become God too. Wow. And you think about that statement by Ronald Reagan. Did not Satan tell Adam and Eve, you can become like a god? And Reagan said, communism is the second worst lie that was ever perpetrated against man. That there is no God. Satan knows something about that. He knows that if you can think that there is no God, then by default, the human nature will assume the place, though we would never say so, that we're the God of what we do. Watch out, Christian. Put on your gear. You'll never be deceived as long as you're immersed in the Word of God. And Peter is saying this profoundly. Lay aside. The Word is powerful. Put it off. Put what off? Put the things that we're going to look at in a moment off from you. Tear it off. Listen, the word means lay it aside. Take off the clothes. One of the translations of the early Puritans said, strip off your clothing of the past. I like that. Strip off your clothing. Think about working in the yard, or maybe you're working under the car, or you come home from the construction site, or you just, for that matter, you just flat out stink from your day, and you come home, and your wife or your husband says, listen, you need to get in the tub. You need to get washed. You need to get taken care of. You can't come into the house smelling like this. You understand what I'm saying? So the enemy wants you to get your eyes off the truth of God's word and to get you on something else. And so Peter is saying, Christian, to survive the days of these last days, you've got to strip off certain things. And let's look at our Bibles to what those things are. All malice. The word malice means general. This is funny, general. Like there's a general common evil. But it means all that is evil. All that is under the umbrella of evil. Now watch, this is convicting. It may not be for you, but it's terribly convicting for me because I can waste my time watching TV. I am literally addicted to documentaries. You say, oh, I got to watch sports. I could care less. That's not my thing. You know what tempts me? It's not the Angels. It's not the Dodgers. It's not. What tempts me is on Thursday night, Smithsonian will debut a thing on George Washington. And I'm like this. Oh, my gosh. Set my timer. And all that's fine, I guess, unless the world has drawn my attention to itself and busyness, even the church business, rather than being with God. So it doesn't have to be some blatant evil. It means this. Remove from you, church, things that trouble you between you and God. What is that? Oh my goodness. Could we not spend the rest of the day right here? What are those things that trouble you between you and God? The word means wickedness. Listen to this. The word means innuendo. You ever heard that word before? Dirty jokes. Suggestive talk. The word means crude. Suggestive actions or words. The Bible says, throw it off. Christian, stop flirting. God speaks to us and says, that's not right. That's not good. Wow. We need to meditate in that. Peter's saying, listen, we're in a warfare and the enemy is very, very subtle and he's very, very wicked. And one of the things that he's going to do is going to try to get you to go back and lean on the things of the past. And it's going to be all of the innuendo. You're going to have a tendency. Listen, church, don't worry. I'm not going to call upon you because I already know that this describes you and me. There is a bizarre tendency in our fallen nature, though we are Christians today, that there's an allurement to innuendo. There's something that is interesting to us. We have to fight that. Christians, we need to fight. The next word is deceit. He says we need to throw off, cast away, strip off deceit. The word means to, listen to this, to bait or to craft or to by stealth go about to deceive someone. We've got to watch out. Just because somebody says they are a Christian, listen, could mean they're a real Christian. But they might have a motive.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
It's an amazing world you and I live in. Do you know your heart? I don't. Exactly. Jeremiah says, I can't know it. So when somebody comes along and says, hey, Jack, I got to tell you something. The Lord told me to tell you. How do you know that? I'm going to tell them right up front. You need to give me Bible verse and chapter. And it's got to be in context. Well, I had a dream last night, and the Lord told me to tell you, if God wants me to have that, he'll give me the dream too. I'm dead serious. I'm not being rude. God bless your Christian friends. But just because our Christian friends tell us stuff doesn't mean God's the one saying it. Watch out. That's on the benign, innocent side. What about the blatantly deceptive side? And then the word is hypocrisy. He says, peel off. This is amazing because the Bible is implying that you and I are Christians and we need to daily, think about it, peel off hypocrisy. Now, who's going to admit to that today? Who is going to admit to that today that I'm a hypocrite? But the Bible says we are. We have to fight it every day. You look so cute and so sweet, you little hypocrite, you. You say, oh, Jack, you know, I see you up there. What you see is a hypocrite. So the Bible says, it means, listen, in my life, as in yours, constantly bombarded with all these things that are coming against us. And one of the things that comes against us is for me to play the hypocrite. In ancient Greek mythology and history, there's Janus, with a friend of mine pointed out today, that's his wife's name. But he said, it's spelled different. And he's correct, it's spelled different, thank God. If your name's Janus, it's okay. But Janus with a U is an ancient god. In fact, you guys have the slide of that guy? We didn't kind of prepare. I kind of threw it at you guys, if you have it. There he is. If you go to the Vatican, which I encourage all of you to go, you'll see Janus. This is not a knockoff. This is Janus. You see a problem with that guy? We say he's... You're very good. We say he's two-faced. He's two-faced. Why? You ask Janus for direction and you might get, go west, young man, go west. And then the other part of Janus says, move out of California today. What do? You see? No, don't move out of California yet. You can move out of California after you vote for governor. Then you can move out of California. So wait till November and then move. Take me with you, but let's vote first. Next picture, if you guys have it. Oh, you recognize that? The Screen Actors Guild. Bunch of hypocrites. Oh, that felt good to say that. But that's their logo. That's their logo. You would say, oh, their logo is Janus, the ancient god. No, no, no. Listen, the hypocrite is the person. Watch me. Watch me. In fact, I want to be careful. Make sure I get it right. To wear the mask. Watch. It means to put on a face for the moment. You can be a hypocrite in church right now. Oh, praise the Lord. And yet that's not how you live. It means to hide behind the mask. It means to wear a mask. And listen, what is implied is that the mask that you're wearing allows you to either act like someone that you are not, or it allows us to act like a person that we want to be like. So watch. What if I'm wearing a mask of a person that I want to be? What if I'm wearing a mask that allows me to act or be like somebody that I really want to be like, but the mask gives me the license to go do it? Guess what? We have another word or words for this. We have the word Mardi Gras. Now, Mardi Gras means what it means, but what is the practice of Mardi Gras? I don't encourage you, do not open your phone now and go to images on Mardi Gras because it's pornographic. And you think of that for a moment. What's going on? People are dressed up, radically enjoying themselves, doing lewd and immoral things that the mask that they're wearing allows them to do. Does this make sense to people? Do you get that? I'll make it more, acceptable to us. Have you noticed that when you wear a suit, gentlemen, you act different when you wear a suit? I don't like it because I'm playing the hypocrite. No, really. I mean, I got to go to events. I was at a wonderful event, by the way. I'm grateful. I loved it, enjoyed every moment of it, but I just couldn't relax. It wasn't because of my table that I was at or what I was doing there or who was in attendance. But my goodness, I had the joyous opportunity of sitting with Dennis Prager and others, and it was a wonderful moment. It was a great, great time. But I didn't like it for one reason. I was wearing a suit, and that's not me. But I was playing, as it were, the hypocrite, as it were. I was wearing something else. And that's it on the gentle side of things. But there are people who live life. And the Bible warns us that as Christians, we are tempted to put on a mask. We want you to think different of us. What we don't want you to do is think about who we really are. And that needs to be repented of. It needs to be repented of in your relationships. How many of you are dating somebody? A couple of you? Some of you can't admit that because the person that you're with right now... We have counseling for you after service. When that person that you're dating says thus and so about themselves, how do you know? How do you know? You don't know what's up. Especially for many of us who are abused or traumatized as young people. We put up a mask. We can put up a mask that we think is safe. We got to hide behind this mask because, God forbid, I let somebody in who can really know who I am, then they won't love me. And God comes up to you. And I'm looking around this room right now. God comes up to us. God comes up to us. Tommy, God comes up to us. God comes up to us. Mike, God comes up to us. Sharon, God comes up to us. And have you noticed? He so lovingly and gentle begins to put the mask down. He puts his hand at the top of the mask and just begins to push it down. A lot of us guys who've had a bad life have this thing about, nothing can bother me. The truth is, everything bothers you. You're concerned about everything. That's why the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's not the opinion of people. You can't experience the joy of the Lord being your strength until you allow Jesus Christ to walk up to you and put his hand at the top of the mask, and he just slowly puts it down. And he exposes, just you and him together, he exposes who you are. And you're naked and open before the Lord, and he says, listen, I got you. He's not going to go up one side and down the other and point out all of your problems. He says, I died on the cross for all of those problems, which are the issues of your life. I got it from here, Jack. I'll take it from here. We either have our mask built up, pretending to be somebody else, or we're letting Jesus heal us. That's the life of the believer. But the world is wearing a mask. And I would say now, the mask are starting to come off, but the conduct is not being hidden. Did you know there's a rise in costume parties that are orgy costume parties? People dress up with a mask, and the whole evening ends in orgies. Did you know those are rising in the young community today? On a more benign sense, as it were, we see people dressed up in Halloween costumes at work. Is it interesting that most people who dress up in their Halloween costumes at work is either some sort of terrorized murderer or some sort of Playboy bunny or prostitute? Why do they dress like that? Oh, it's just funny. Could it be something's on the inside of you that wants to come out?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called The Anointing of His Word, Part 1. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, a Study in 1 Peter. It's a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
So Christians everywhere, and I hear it all the time, things like this, should I vote? Or, I'm not going to vote. And they're Christians. Now, of course, you can be a Christian and not vote, but you can't be a Christian with wisdom and not vote. To not vote is to allow the enemy, in your act of apathy, to gain ground. In fact, our nation, we would all agree, is messed up and is in a situation and a condition unlike any other time in our country's history. Why? How did that happen? Are you ready for the answer? The church didn't vote. No, isn't it the bad guy? It's the liberals. It's those mean people. Nope, the church did not vote. That's how we got here, folks. The church didn't vote. So what we must do is we must be good stewards of what God has given us. You're supposed to be a good steward over the money God gave you. You're supposed to be a good steward over the time God has given you. Listen, you are supposed to be a good steward over the responsibility of this constitutional republic to vote. So listen, register to vote, get out there and vote for pro-life candidates or pro-Israel candidates or pro-marriage candidates. Know your Bible and vote accordingly. But by all means, get out there and vote. So let's pray about it right now. Father God, we pray that you'd wake up the family of God in this nation. Lord, if every believer went out and voted their biblical worldview, according to the scripture, this nation would turn around in one election. This nation would turn around in one day if Christians cared enough, stepped out of their apathy, and made their vote count for Jesus to do what honors him in an act of worship. If we made voting
an act of worship, and every Christian participated in America, righteousness would prevail. So God, we pray that you would give us the wisdom and, Lord, the catalyst to get up and to vote rightly based upon your truth, God. Please, in Jesus' name, amen.
Did you know that along with the radio program, Pastor Jack also has a TV show with more of the Pastor Jack Hibbs content that you like? It's called Real Life TV. If you enjoy Pastor Jack on the radio, you're going to love him on TV. So check out your local listings or visit jackhibbs.com and catch the latest episodes. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.